the coolest. No, you're the coolest. No, you're the coolest. Okay, I'm the coolest. Yeah, I agree.
I am Pastor Floyd Hughes from Crossroads Community Church of Jefferson Hills, and with me, as always, is
Pastor Mark Berkshire with Meadow Run Community Church, Ohio Pow.
And I am just returning from sabbatical, so it's been a while since we put out an episode. Actually, we recorded an extra episode before I went on sabbatical, but then I lost it. I went like the week before my sabbatical ended to find it and say, I'll post this now so we have some time, and I could not find it. I looked online. I looked at my laptop, all my files. It's somewhere. I don't know what happened to it. But we're back now, and we're actually going to answer some questions that folks sent in via video. And we'll get to that in a minute. But first, as always, so Mark, what are you preaching on Sunday?
Sunday, I am preaching on praise. And I'll be talking about praising God for who he is and what he does.
Oh, that's a good one. This Sunday, it'll be my second Sunday back. We started a series walking through the book of Hebrews, but not a verse by verse or chapter by chapter, but looking at the author of Hebrews highlights all these things that Jesus is better than to the Jewish community. And we're going to look at the things in our lives that equate to those things that Jesus is better than, that we try to do to reach Jesus, or that we try to put above our relationship with Jesus. And we're going to spend not the entire summer, but most of the summer walking through that. And now we're actually going to answer some questions, which is great, because that's the whole purpose of the Faith Responders podcast, is for Mark and myself to help and equip Christians to respond to things going on in our community, in the culture, and in our circles of influence with our faith, rather than through what the culture says or our political perspective says or any of those things. So before I came back, I put out a video asking people if they had questions that we could specifically answer on the podcast, and I got quite a few. So are you ready to jump into these?
I'm ready as I'm going to be.
Okay, so I got one from someone who said, here's something I'm struggling with, and I'm kind of summarizing their question. They said, the older generation should be training the younger. We see that in Scripture, where Paul says, you know, have the older men train a younger man, older women train a younger woman. But this person says, yet where I've been lately, I seem to know more about the Bible, and the older generation is prone to misinformation. And I believe it was a she, I cannot remember, but they said, what do I do about that? It's all backwards, is what they said. What do I do about that?
Right.
So do you have, I have so many things going through my head right now, but one of them being, yeah, blame the pulpit, but we'll get there.
Yeah.
Go. What are your thoughts?
When I saw that question, it kind of made me a little sad, because I'm thinking, if a younger person is looking and saying it's all backwards, then yeah, we have missed the mark. It used to be that where we would have Sunday school, we would have, you know, Wednesday night services, it was being taught all the time. The church has come to be sadly, a microwave church. Come in and go out real quick. You don't stick around. You don't talk. Most churches don't have Sunday school anymore, and things like that. They don't have Bible studies anymore. And we are missing that. And I think as a whole, society has just missed the boat, so to speak.
So you think, and tell me if I'm capturing what you're stating correctly, you think that the church today has done a really poor job of equipping people biblically, whether it be Sunday school, all those avenues that we had to teach people the Bible, we've kind of let those go by the wayside, and so people aren't being taught the Bible. They come in, they Sunday, and then they leave, and that's it. And so the younger people are coming in. What this person is saying is, I'm a younger person. I come in, I'm digging into my Bible at home, and I'm talking to these older people who are supposed to be equipping me, and they are so misinformed about what the Bible says.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much that's what I'm saying. Because I think we've lost, and it's sad, but I think we've lost a generation of people, because there for a while with COVID and everything, people didn't look at the Bible. A lot of people didn't even pick the Bible up in that year that we were not allowed to meet together and not allowed to do things. So it is sad to where we are. In the sermon that I'm preaching on Sunday, I'm preaching on Psalm 145, and David says in there to that we are to teach the next generation, and that we are to look at the next generation, and we are to show them how to praise God, how to fellowship with one another, how to worship with one another. And back a couple decades ago, it was like that. You would go into a church service and you would feel the real praise of God. You would see people praising God and worshiping. You go into a church service today in a lot of churches and you see people just saying, okay, preacher, get on with it. I've got to go fishing after church. They're looking at their watch.
They're not there to experience God and whatever God has to give them, whether it be through music or the word.
Right.
They're just there to check a thing. I think for this person, it's good that they're noticing that,
Yeah.
because then they can correct the misinformation. And I do blame the pulpit, just like you said, because we stopped teaching people the Bible and went to, okay, we just got to do this, we just got to do that. And we'll come back to the COVID thing because that's a question too.
Yes.
But I think folks were misinformed. And I think about when Jesus came, he had to take the disciples and be like, had to flip the script on everything they were taught, because they were taught legalism. They were taught, I mean, they went from, and multiple generations had passed, obviously, but being taught God speaking to Moses, Moses speaking to the people, God speaking to Joshua, Joshua speaking to the people, to thousands of years later, and they were abiding by this legalistic thing. And Jesus had to come and tell the people, no, you have heard it said this, but I'm here to tell you this. This is what the real spirit of the law says, and how you are to adhere to it. It's not about these legalistic things. It's about, here's what the Bible says. So to that person, yes, you're acknowledging, here's the way the world works today, and not just in your congregation, in many congregations. And I think the biggest part of your question is, what do you do about it? You correct them. You correct that misinformation, not with, well, I heard blah, 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 but with, hey, I hear what you're saying, but here's what the Bible says. How do you reconcile those two things? You're telling me A, the Bible says, M. How do you reconcile those two things? Because I want to do what, God says in His Word. And doing it in a God-honoring way, you might actually correct some of the misinformation. Some of it might be so traditional, just like with Jesus, they might try to kill you. No, I'm just kidding. They won't want to hear it, but some of it they'll be like, oh wow, let me go back and look at this, and don't make a public spectacle of it, but in private, and one-on-one, not trying to call people out publicly. I love that one of the things that Jesus did is when he was talking directly to the Pharisees, he called them out.
Yeah.
When he was talking to other people about the Pharisees, he just said, don't trust them, beware. they're a bunch of blah, blah, blah. He said, hey, don't trust them. Check it against the word. Beware of their teachings. He didn't demean or ridicule them to others, but when talking directly to them, he did call them out on their hypocrisy and incorrect teachings. So I think the best part of your question is, what do you do about it? You correct the misinformation biblically.
Amen. Amen. And you can correct them. You don't have to be mean about correcting them either. You can be polite about correcting them, because that's kind of something we have to be careful about too. You can't go up to them and say, you're just a downright good liar at that, even though Jesus did that sometimes, but you could do it with a Christ-like spirit is the way you should correct them.
Yeah. All right. So the next question, and I think the next two are from the same person. And this is actually someone I know. I haven't met them in person, but I know them, have interacted with them, prayed for their family. So this person says, I've been going to my church for over a decade, pretty big church. And let me say this, we're not hating on mega churches.
Right.
This is a question that a person has brought up. She says, my pastor's preaching has never caught me off guard, but there have been a few things that have happened or happen regularly that kind of make me feel off. And here's one. For starters, I have been forcefully laid out by someone on the staff, laying hands on me, and they wouldn't stop rocking me until I fell to the ground. And she says, but that wasn't the pastor, so I'm not holding it against him personally, but she does have odds with someone trying to forcibly slay people in this in the spirit. And I would love to hear your thoughts on this one.
My thoughts very simply is, if you have to force it, it isn't real.
Say it again for the folks who may not have caught that. That's
if you have to force it, it's not real. I see this. You see this on TV a lot with, like, the Benny Hinn's and the different Kenneth Copeland and all those preachers, where they literally try to knock you out when they put their hand on your forehead and they. Get the demons out of you or whatever. Jesus never did that. A lot of times Jesus would just speak and the Holy Spirit would come on somebody. You don't have to have a visual of the Spirit coming on you. Now, I'm all for, the Holy Spirit moving, and I was raised in a church where people were slain in the Spirit, and a lot of times would just, just fall in awe of who God is and what He was doing. You have to be very careful, and that is something that I would look at, and if it continued to happen, I would probably run as fast as I could away from that church. So,
yeah, my thoughts were, that sounds more like performance theater than the Holy Spirit. Exactly what you said. If you got to force it, it's not real. And my opinion is, if you're forcing a theatrical performance of what the Holy Spirit is capable of, it's disrespectful to what the Holy Spirit is actually capable of. And I think I love what you said about, there doesn't have to be this visual to show that the Holy Spirit is moving. And everyone thinks that, I want you to know the Holy Spirit is moving, so I have to do this visible slain in the spirit thing. And I don't know. I'm with you. I don't want to tell people, if that's the only thing, run. But I do want to tell people exactly what you said. If it keeps happening, run, because that's disrespectful to the Holy Spirit. I can't imagine God continuing to draw people to a place where they are faking what the Holy Spirit is actually capable of doing. But you know, I don't know. I'm torn. I want to say like you run, yeah, because it doesn't sound. And I love, you know, because if you read in, I think it's Acts chapter 10, Peter was just preaching the gospel, and a whole room full of people were filled with the Holy Spirit. He didn't touch a single person in that room, and I feel like if you have to fake it so that everyone sees it, then you take away from, you know, what the Holy Spirit is actually capable of doing. You turn it into, for lack of a better term, performance theater. So, yeah, I kind of lean more towards exactly what you said, Ron. I hate to say that because there might be other good things. There might be, but if they're faking that, who knows what else they're faking and manufacturing? Who knows if they're actually preaching the word? I mean, I don't know. It's just, yeah.
And that's my thing is, you know, if he's faking that, or if they're faking that performance, as you call it, then is he really faking his sermon? Does he have the Holy Spirit in him to preach the sermon? And you know, I know of a lot of good teachers of the word, but there are very few good pastors of the word, if that makes any sense.
No, yeah, 100%. Yeah. Okay, so this same person asked this question though. When the pastor walks up to the pulpit every time, he has a designated staff member. And again, this is a pretty big church. I'm gonna lean towards, they don't use the word mega church. They say pretty big church. I'm gonna lean towards probably a mega church. Probably, you know, I'm gonna say probably several hundred to maybe over 1,000 or a couple of thousand. We don't know. But they say when the pastor walks up to the pulpit every time, he has a designated staff member carry his water and his Bible to the podium for him and set it down. Meanwhile, he has literally nothing in his hands. And this person asks, why? Why is he doing that? I mean, we can't explain his thinking and why he's doing it. I can share some insights on why I think he's doing it, but yeah, what are your thoughts on that? Why?
My first thought when I saw that question was, man, this guy's got a big ego. That was my first thought. I don't know why. I mean, that's not something I would even think about doing. Now I've been in churches and I've preached guests, you know, I was a guest speaker in a couple of churches, where they would bring a cup of water or something and set it at the pulpit for me for when I was preaching. That was just something they did. You know, I carried my own Bible. I mean, you know, I don't understand. And maybe you said you have some ideas, but maybe I just don't understand why he would even do it.
Well, yeah, and to make the distinction, I believe that this is different from, and I've experienced what you experienced, where I'm at the pulpit or I'm preaching, and someone brings me water, or I'm going to the pulpit with my Bible or whatever, and someone will go bring water up there. This is as he's going, someone's carrying his water and his Bible for him. There is a name for this. It's called an armor bearer, kind of like what warriors had back in the day, kind of like how David had an armor bearer. Someone would carry his armor for him. That has carried over into, I don't want to say just the black church, but also some charismatic churches. And it's a sign of prominence, to where you have, instead of you know, a pastor's assistant, you have an armor bearer, someone who does those things for you. Technically, it's not an armor bearer. No one's carrying your armor. Your water is not your armor. It's an assistant. And if your assistant, I mean this with all the due respect I can, because I'm not in that whole culture. But if your assistant has to carry your water and your Bible to the podium for you while you walk up, either behind or in front of them with empty hands, I say to that assistant, get another job. That's not what a pastoral assistant is supposed to be doing. Because that makes me think, what else is that person having you do that they could do for themselves? Can you come erase this line on my notes for me so I don't have to pick up my pen? I mean, it's beyond ridiculous. I get that it's a sign of prominence that you are a pastor who has an assistant. But then again, to me, that goes back to the performance theater. It's something you're doing to show other people, which yeah. leans toward that prideful that you were talking about. You're just being prideful. No one needs to know that you have an assistant that can carry your water and all that stuff for you. It's one thing if, you know, you're waiting to go up to the podium and you say to your assistant, "Hey, I forgot my Bible. Can you run and grab it for me?" Or, "I forgot my water. Can you run and grab it for me?" But apparently this is an ongoing thing that they have noticed. And I wouldn't say run, but I would say maybe this is something where you can ask that pastor why. Hey, I've noticed this. I'm not saying I have a problem in it, but what is the significance of having this person carry this stuff for you?
Yeah.
Because if you're shepherding your sheep, are you telling me as one of the sheep that I got to get someone to carry my stuff for me?
Yeah.
It's just performance and prominence and pride. And I don't think it's.
Yeah. I guess you're more spiritual minded than I am, because I didn't even think about the armor carrying. That wasn't even my first thought. I mean, I can see that, and I just, I mean, as a pastor, for me, I just would feel humbled. I'm humbled to carry my Bible into the pulpit. Yeah. You know, it's just, I don't know. I'm like you. I wouldn't say run, but it would be a good opportunity to have that discussion with the pastor as to what the purpose is.
Again, that's just one of those things that, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Let me move down to the next question. And I think this is from a different person. Actually, it's from the same person. So recently God healed them from some stuff they were going to, and they wanted to share that testimony with the pastor. And I think if I understand their message correctly, it wasn't that they were like, "Hey, I want to share it with the pastor so I get an opportunity to share on stage or share during the Sunday celebration." It was like, you know, one of the members of your congregation got healed and they want to come up to you and say, "Hey, Pastor Mark, I want to share with you what God has done for me." She tried to approach the pastor during the time dedicated to chatting and greeting people. Now, when I first read this, in my mind, I was thinking it was before. So,
Yeah.
But it was during that, like, meet and greet time when people are chatting and meeting and greeting people. She tried to approach the pastor to tell the pastor, "Hey, look what God did for me." And the armor bearer or the assistant that carries this stuff stopped her and told her that she had to wait until after the service to talk to him because he likes to be in the zone. And if you can't see that, I have my air quotes going in the zone. And this, she says, curious to hear your thoughts on that. I have a lot of thoughts, and maybe I will admit my thoughts are starting to compound because this is the same pastor. So I'm seeing a little bit of more, you know, what was a yellow flag turned into an orange flag and is turning into red flags.
Yeah.
Might not be that same way if these were all different pastors, but this is all the same situation.
Right. Yeah.
So what are your thoughts? Can't talk to me because I'm in the zone. And I don't know if the problem was she couldn't talk to him or the problem was the armor bearer or the assistant is the one who said, "No, you can't approach them yet."
I don't understand what the zone is. I mean, I just never experienced that. To me, the day I tell somebody they can't talk in church is the day I need to get out. Because, I mean, we have special times. When I ask for prayer requests, for example, before I pray for everybody or lead the pastoral prayer, and I ask for praise and prayer, So do you have a praise today or do you have a prayer today? A prayer request. I have a hard time with this one. I really do, because it's the same preacher. It, from what it sounds, the same preacher.
Yeah.
I would be looking at, personally, I would be evaluating, is this really where God wants me to be?
Yeah.
Is this the church that God wants me in? If I can't access the pastor when I need to get to him, for good or for bad, then am I in the right place?
Now, I will give that, you know, even during the meet and greet sometimes, but before, I mean, people will still come up and talk to me, and my thing is, can I talk to you after?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm trying to, you know, I realize I've got things to do. I don't want to be standing here talking to you and you say, I just need 30 seconds, and it turns into, you know, 13 minutes, and everyone else is waiting for things to move on, and, you know, so I get that, but it's still, yeah, come up and talk to me, yeah. And you know, and I get during the meet and greet as well, because I will have people come up and talk to me during a meet and greet, and in my head, I don't know about in the zone, but in my head, I'm thinking, okay, we've only got X number of minutes, because I don't want to hold everyone long, but I have had people come up and talk to me, and, you know, we look around, everyone else is seated, because I'm like, you know, trying to respond to them or whatever, and they're waiting on me, and sometimes that happens. But my biggest thing, and I will tell them during the meet and greet too, hey, can we talk about this after? Or if you don't want to talk about it here, give me a call and we'll set a time where we can really dig into this.
Right, right.
But my big thing is, if I'm the pastor, like you said, and I'm shepherding the people, and the people don't have access to the pastor, then you're not shepherding the people.
Right.
Because I feel like, not to equate pastors to like political leaders, but just like a congressman works for you,
yeah.
That pastor works for you. I work for my congregation. And if they, like you said, if they don't have access to me, why am I there?
Right.
And granted, you know, you have limited time during a Sunday celebration, but even you know, let's set up a time where I could talk to you, or your sounds, you know, I have an answer for you. Let's talk after, because I feel like I can help you with this right now.
Right.
You know, let's set 3 minutes aside after someone else. You know, that's going to take a little bit of a conversation, and it sounds personal. So why don't you and I set a time to talk about this, you know, or whatever. But that is you can't shepherd the people if you're not talking to the people.
Right, right.
I think many pastors, and this goes back to something you said during the other question. Many pastors have gotten into, our job is to get them in, preach a sermon, and get them out.
Yeah.
They forget. No, our job is to equip them and to shepherd them and to help them. Here's how you deal with this circumstance from the Word of God. And we can't do that if we are not interacting with the people we're called to shepherd. To me is the biggest red flag. And it's not that the armor bearer stopped her,
right,
that the pastor allowed it. If I saw someone, because I have told, you know, our board, hey, you know what, I do want to speak to people, but if it's beforehand, if you guys could do more of the greeting, I'm less floating around greeting. I do more of that after and somewhat during a meet and greet. And if I saw someone coming towards me and a board member said, no, you can't talk to him right now, I would say, yeah, hold on, let me see what they want. And you know, so I don't necessarily blame the armor bearer, because the armor bearer is probably doing that because that's what the pastor wants the armor bearer to do.
And I think I blame it on the pulpit. I blame it on the seminaries. And let me tell you why I believe that, the schooling that the pastor has gotten. When I was going through seminary, they taught us to be a shepherd. They taught us how to pastor. Most seminaries today, they don't do that. A lot of people that are going into the pastorate now, from what I am observing, are looking at it as a career and not a calling. A lot of, there's a lot of preachers out there that are career preachers and not called pastors. And there is a difference, because a career, a called pastor would automatically be like you and I are, to, if someone's approaching us, say, hey, I want to really talk to you about that, but let's do it after, or let's go have a cup of coffee this week and we'll sit down and talk. But a lot of career preachers are like, you know, no, I'll address that from the pulpit sometime. You know, that's my observation anyways.
No, I agree. I think most of the, I hate to generalize, because there's a lot of good people going into it for the right reason.
Yeah, yeah.
But there are a lot of people looking at it as a job. I'm going to go to school. When I get out, I'm going to get this job rather than this calling, which is why there are many small churches without pastors, because it's not the, you know, like you and I. Yeah, it's a small church. You can't afford to pay me a lot, but this is what God has called me to, and so here I am. They're like, no, I went to school. I need a job that makes this much. I'm going to put in this many years, and then I'm going to retire. It's a job. It's not something God has called them to. And I'm not judging or criticizing anyone. I'm just stating facts. So yeah, I wholeheartedly agree. And we could do a whole, and maybe we will in the future, we'll have to ask Don to add this to our list of ones we said maybe we'll talk about, a whole episode on our seminaries equipping people to properly pastor congregations today. Some are, but I think most are not. But that, like I said, whole other conversation.
Right.
But so two more questions. And this is one we kind of alluded to a little bit earlier. Someone said, people, meaning Christians, I think they're referring specifically to Christians, not just the mass people in general, did not return to church after COVID. And he says, why do folks, and again, I think he's meaning Christians, feel that church is no longer necessary? Church attendance in their whole state suffered since 2020. And I think that's true across the board, but I think there are some congregations that are growing. But I think as a general statement, a lot, just like a lot of people didn't return to work for whatever reason, I don't know where they went, a lot of people did not return to Sunday celebrations. So what are your thoughts on that?
Okay. I agree with him that a lot of people haven't returned. And I think this may sound silly, but I think back in the 70s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and beyond, before that even, you kind of went to church because it was just the thing you did. You know, Sundays were meant to be family days. They were meant to be days where you spend first hour with God and then you spend the rest of the time with family. And in a lot of cases, growing up, if you didn't do that, your mom or your dad was going to punish you for not going to church, you know. So you were forced into doing it. And you're afraid a lot of times that if you didn't go to church, God was going to zap you or something. I think through COVID, it showed us that, you know, we missed church and God didn't do anything bad to us. You know, he didn't zap us. So, you know, I don't really have to be there. Church is in my living room now, because I can tune in, and I have nothing bad to say about live streaming or broadcasting your service. I do it. But a lot of people have said, okay, I don't feel like getting up and getting dressed today, so I'm just going to sit here and watch Pastor Floyd in my pajamas and don't have to worry about going to church. We've gotten to COVID allowed us to get disconnected. And it's hard sometimes to reconnect something that is disconnected.
Yeah, I think, and again, like you, I don't have anything against doing it online. I actually spent time while I was on sabbatical with a family that that's exactly what they did every Sunday. For whatever reason, they could not go. And they even told me, "Hey, I know you feel like you may want to watch your congregation, whoever's preaching there at your church, Floyd, but we have a church that we're a part of, and that's what we're watching." And they even were signing up to go on the mission trips with that church. So I get it. But I think for me, in my mind, those are people that I wouldn't categorize them as ones who did not return. I would categorize them as ones who returned in another way. For whatever reason, going in person didn't work for them, might have been children, whatever. So now we're still going to go. We'll just do it this way. I think the people that are not going, because church, it's not like, there were X millions of people attending. They stopped, and now there's X millions of people online. There was during COVID, like they broke the internet the first couple of weeks, like broke the internet from everyone trying to, watch online, and all the churches who hadn't previously now putting their stuff online. But then that dwindled down once COVID went away, and those people are not there now. They're not watching online any longer, and they're not going in person. So those are the people that, and I had a conversation with someone today who said they have a friend who feels like, I don't need to go to church in order to have a relationship with God. And I tell people this all the time, whether they tell me online, whether they tell me in a comment, every comment I see that says that, I was like, the fact that you said that shows that you do, because you seem to think that going to church, like the church is the place you go. We keep calling it that as the place you go. You are called to be a part of the church, and you cannot do that sitting home saying, I don't want to be with anyone else. It's one thing to say, yeah, I'm going to be a part of this church. I live in Georgia and I'm watching, Mark's church in Ohio Pile, and I enjoy it. And even if I don't watch it at the time they do it, they do it at 10:30, and I don't get off work till 2 in the afternoon on Sundays. So at 3 o'clock on Sundays, I'm typing in my amen. I'm singing along with the songs. So yeah, that's one thing. That's different from the person who says, I don't need to go. The fact that they say that shows that they don't know the Bible. They don't know the Word of God. They don't know what it means to have a relationship with God. And they're ignoring, God's command to be a part of the body of Christ. So, yeah, everyone that says that shows that they are wrong and that they actually do need to go. So they can, this is part of the previous question, correct that misinformation. Or, that's not a valid thing. It's incorrect. It's now, if someone says, I just don't want to go, that's a different conversation. But if you're saying, I don't need to go in order to have a relationship with God, the fact that you're saying that shows you do need to go, because your relationship is not based on what God wants from you.
I totally agree. I was thinking when you were talking about that, it's like a found building a foundation. You have a cinder block. When you lay your foundation, you have cinder blocks that you put together. If I'm holding a cinder block and just holding the block, it's just a block. It's nothing more than a brick. But when I put it in with the others, it becomes a strong foundation.
Wow,
And
that hold on, that's powerful. So I'm going to ask you to say that again. Just say that again. I've never heard that analogy before, and it's perfect. It's a great analogy. So say that again.
when you have a cinder block and you're building a foundation, if you're holding the cinder block by itself, it's just a block or a brick. But when you put it into and put it together with the rest of the cinder blocks in the foundation, that makes a strong foundation. And God wants us to have a strong foundation. So yes, the church is just a building that we call the church is just a building made of cinder blocks that have to be put together to hold the building in place. So we need people in the church to become the church, to build that foundation that is going to be stronger, that Satan can't come to and destroy.
Amen. 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 I'm going to share this last question. And I was gonna have you guess who it's from, but I'll just tell you, it's from Bree. She said, my issue is that my favorite two pastors live and preach 3 hours away. And I started to type in, so move. But I think the best thing I can do for her, and she is someone who, she has, you know, a church, but she'll listen to your church sometimes, she'll listen to my church sometimes. And I think in those instances, for the people that have specifically just an online church, if it's local, maybe once, doesn't have to be a month, doesn't have to be every other month, but make a journey to go there. Mm-hmm. And check it out. Check out what's happening in person, because what you're getting online is a snippet of the culture that's happening in person. Like with all the other questions from that other person who they watched online, is like, great sermon, great worship. But then there's all these other little things that are kind of like, those are a little flag, right, that you wouldn't necessarily see just from the online stuff that's projected out to the world. So, go in person. And for Bree specifically, when you hear this, we just need to normalize the kind of meetups like we did in April. And hanging out. But yeah, anything you have to say to Bree?
Hi, Bree. No, I would be like you. I'm like, move. But it is hard. I have some pastors that I listen to and I watch regularly that I've never met, but I have the deepest respect for them because of their service and what they do. Two of them that I know of, I would never be able to go and meet them because they live literally thousands of miles away from me, but there's nothing stopping me from dropping a note to them, either in a comment or on, an email. Hey, I really enjoyed that service, or I really enjoyed that message that spoke to me. Because as pastors, we need to be encouraged as well. We don't need somebody to pat us on the back necessarily. I'm not saying that. But we need words of encouragement that, hey, that message really did work. If that makes sense. So
yeah. And I actually just, I think it was yesterday or today, referred someone to Bree, because they were explaining that they're just having a difficult time getting over whatever caused them to not go to church anymore. Mm-hmm. And they're watching online, but they don't know if they can make that actual step to go back to a physical. And I referred to them and said, hey, you should reach out to Bree, because she's had that journey as well.
Yeah.
She can kind of speak to, I didn't want to say you need to, that I was just like, here's someone who has been where you are, and can maybe give you some, maybe some insights to help you with that. But I agree with you that, I appreciate every time Bree pops in and says, hey, that I appreciated your message the other day saying, hey, that sermon was really good. Like when my father-in-law and we came to your church, he came up to you and acknowledged it. I went to one church almost like not even two blocks away from me while I was on sabbatical. And I messaged the pastor, sent him an email after and said, it was good to hear that message. I love how you go through, you adhere to God's word and make it relevant. And what you said, spoke to me and my family, and I'm grateful that I got a chance to hear it. So, yeah. Definitely, if you can, send those notes of encouragement. Hopefully, if it's something that they spoke that was good, it will encourage them to, okay, I need to keep putting in that work, if it, not just to get words of encouragement, but if it helps someone, that's great. If I get a message, and I got one, I don't remember yesterday, today, from someone who said, hey, I like your videos. I like how you stick to the Bible. And I always I appreciate that because that encourages me to, okay, you know what? Instead of just responding to their question with, here's what I think, let me go do the work, dig it up, look through the Word of God, see what it says, and then say, here's you know, what I believe the Word of God says about your situation.
Right.
Yeah, definitely. Any last thoughts before we close out in prayer?
One big one. Don't be afraid to ask. If you have a question, you have something you see that is troubling to you, or you have concerns about, don't be afraid to ask the pastor. Or ask some member of, you know, of the board. Because God never intended for us to do this by ourselves. We have, like, going back to my foundation illustration, he needs us to build a firm foundation that's rooted in the Bible as the cornerstone. As, and when I say the Bible, I mean Christ, because Christ said, I am the Word, and, you know, we need to be rooted in him first before we can even start putting the foundation together. Because if our cornerstone isn't plumb, isn't true, then the whole foundation is going to be off. So we need to build on a sure cornerstone, a sure starting spot, and that is with Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. And I will reiterate again, if you're afraid to ask your pastor, remember, they work for you. God put them there. Hopefully God put them there. They're supposed to be there to shepherd the flock, to equip the people. They right. can't do that if they don't have, you know, they're not allowing you to interact with them. And I get it may be harder when you're in a church of several hundred or several thousand. And then rather than speaking to the head pastor, you may have to speak to, you know, one of the assistant pastors or one of the other pastors. And that should be okay. And if it's not, you specifically want to, then say, hey, thank you, Mark. I would love and appreciate you taking the time, but I want to speak to the head pastor. How do I set up an appointment? And you may have to set up an appointment because, you know, and you think about it biblically, God, you know, well, it wasn't God, but you would think that it was God speaking through Moses' father-in-law, who said, you're trying to do all this by yourself. Set up, you know, people over thousands, people over hundreds, people over tens. And that's
right.
So you may have to only speak to the people over the tens or the people over the hundreds before you get to the main pastor. But he also said the more difficult problems have those brought to you.
Yeah.
They can handle the simple stuff. So you may say, well, I would love to talk to you, Mark. This is a really deep problem. I want to speak to the senior pastor.
Yes.
Set up an appointment, and you may have to set up an appointment and be okay with that. If they're like, we are now taking appointments for September, that might be a little bit of an issue. I mean,
yeah.
See if they say it might be a week or two because he's got meetings, this, that, and the other, and all this stuff. But if it's a month or two, that might be a little bit of an issue.
Right. I agree. I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. So can you pray for people in congregations? Well, two-faced, people in congregations that are afraid to approach their pastor, and for the people who are afraid to go back and attend Sunday celebrations for whatever reason, wherever those COVID people are gathering. Yeah.
Okay. Father, we just come into your presence right now with thanksgiving and praise and just astonishment that you want us to be here, that you want us to come and approach you with boldness, with thanksgiving, with gladness, Lord. So we come thanking you for who you are and for what you do in our lives. Lord, we thank you for the church. We thank you for calling us to be the church. And Lord, we just pray for those who are shepherds of your church, who are shepherds of the flock, that you would just be with each pastor, that you would equip them, encourage them, nourish them, give them a compassionate heart to be accessible to those who they are teaching and preaching to. Help me as a pastor to be more open-minded and more aware of what is going on in the congregation, Lord. And I pray for those who are in the congregations, who sit and listen to our teachings. Let them have the boldness to approach us if we are leaning off of your word and not standing firm on your word. Help them to come and be a part of building us up and not tearing us down. And be with those who, for whatever reason, just seem to think that they do not belong in the church or they do not have to be a part of the church to be effective. And we know that your word tells us that you will use us wherever we are, and we stand on that, but that we are stronger when we are together. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would speak to their hearts and that you would get them to plug into a good source, a good church, and that they would be a part of a good congregation. We thank you, we praise you, and we just ask that you would just give us blessings until you return. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.